ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Grandstand Cricket.
The love god Steve Finn.
On your radio.
As Finn comes in, bowls edged, and Cook takes the catch, and Smith is out for seven, and Steve Finn, in his first over in Test cricket for 2 years, has removed the number one batsman in the world.
I need to hear the love god.
Finn goes into bowl to Clark. He's bowling with a very full delivery. Clark groping for it, and Finn's got his second of the morning.
The love god very much approves of those dance moves.
ABC Sport Digital and on the ABC Listen app.
You knew when we invited you on, Steve, that you weren't going to get away with not hearing that again. Great to have your company on Summer Grandstand. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be in Australia.
Have you carried that moniker on from the times that we were anointing you the love god? What's it like when you travel the world these days?
Well, yeah, you know, it's hard to be recognised as Stephen Finn anywhere. I think everyone just shouts the love god at me as I'm walking down the street. So, yeah, it's something that stuck with me, and I can thank you guys for that.
Yeah. Look, I hope you're enjoying your trip so far. We're all looking forward to Thursday and just what the Test match is going to present. Let's start with the news. Mark Wood doesn't look like he's going to be right to go. He was never going to be playing all five Tests. But what are you hearing about the speedster?
Well, yeah, look, it looks as though it's going to be difficult for him to play this next Test match. It would have been ideal, I think, with the pink ball to have that kind of pace at England's disposal, because clearly it's not quite now or never for England, but it feels as though they have to win this game so that things don't descend into chaos. So, yeah, it's sad for him, but it creates an opportunity for someone like Josh Tung to come in with the pink ball and try and get it zipping around under lights.
Steve, the interesting part of the psyche of this England cricket team is, you know, the way that it goes about its cricket and the relationship it has with former players, with the fans themselves. There have been so many highs, and I don't think there's been a deeper low in the baseball era of being 9 wickets in hand and 100 runs in front at the start of an Ashes series. Whether the dogma gets questioned in-house, I'm not sure, but is the dogma now something that the commentators and the fans of this team are getting sick of?
I'd say it's important to have a degree of balance, because clearly when you lose a Test match like that, it is emotional, and people saw the great situation that England were in at the time. And it was a missed opportunity, definitely, against the Australia team without Cummins, to lose those 4 wickets just after lunch on that second day. Clearly was the first nail in the coffin of England in that game. But I think you have to remember what happened before these guys came together. England had won one Test in 17. 4 years ago, when I was sat in your commentary box talking about the England team losing 4-0, we certainly weren't in any positions like we were a few days ago in any of those Test matches. So I think it's important to have a degree of perspective and not just look at that one moment in isolation.
Yeah. So of the England fans that you've been speaking with, I mean, over the journey, it's had its big moments and it's had its poorer moments. But it seemed just to me, outside looking in, there was a few fans that had sort of, Perth was, it seemed like the straw that broke the camel's back for some of your very loyal fans.
Yeah, I mean, look, it costs a lot of money to come down to Australia, doesn't it, to follow the England team, and people save up for a long time in order to do so, and that's not lost on the players. The players don't go out there trying to lose the game in those situations. They're trying to play in a manner that is going to allow them the best opportunity to win over here, which I think is playing on the front foot, pushing back against Australia, and crucially, they have to win those big moments, and that's what they didn't do in that last Test match, was win that big moment just after lunch, withstand that barrage from Boland and Stark, and then be able to make a big first innings lead. They didn't manage to do that. So I understand the frustration of the fans and the annoyance, and speaking to them, there was definitely a lot of anger at the fact that they'd only witnessed 2 days cricket. But I still firmly believe that the way this England team plays, and if they can stick together, they've got a chance of winning the Ashes.
We loved what your pace attack did just from a pure cricketer's point of view and cricketing point of view. We remember your success with the likes of Tremlett and Broad and Anderson. So it seems at least that part of your craft, the thought process of coming with quick bowlers, it's a tick in that box.
Well, we had you on the ropes. You were ducking and diving on the ropes trying to stay alive there at lunch on day two. So. And the way that the bowlers had bowled in that first innings was the reason for that. It was quick, it was hostile, it was sustained. And yeah, to see all of those guys operating in tandem and not giving Australia any respite whatsoever is exactly the way that you have to bowl down here. So look, they looked a bit tired and jaded in that second innings and maybe a bit frazzled by what happened with the bat in that second innings and how quickly it all subsided. But I've no doubt that with whatever they've had, 11 days rest in between these test matches, those fast bowlers are going to be raring to go again with that little pink missile in a few days' time.
You're hearing from Steve Finn, of course, Ashes winning fast bowler, who's out here with our colleagues on the BBC. Great to have a chat to you, Steve. I think we're all somewhat infatuated with the story of Jofra Archer and his return to red ball cricket, and of course the way that he started with a wicket maiden over there in Perth as well. Have you heard anything out of the camp? How's he going backing up?
Yeah, well, I think he's probably better for the rest. They've been up in Brisbane, haven't they, which has caused a lot of conversation as to whether they should have played in Canberra or not. But as far as I understand, they're doing a lot of bowling in those humid, sticky conditions up in Brisbane that you need to do in order to prepare to play in Brisbane. And I think he'll enjoy bowling on that pitch. The bounce, the fact that it's a day-night test match, the fact he's going to have a pink ball in his hands, I think is something that he is going to really enjoy. And actually, I think looking at his journey and his story as a cricketer, he could have easily turned his back on test match cricket to go and play franchise leagues and earn probably a lot more money doing so. But he has a desire to go and make his name in test match cricket, which for the injuries that he's had and the opportunities he could have had elsewhere is something that's very commendable. So yeah, I'm excited to see him. I hope that he manages to get through four of the five test matches. That would be in an ideal world what would happen. But certainly we're going to see him lining up in Brisbane, raring to go.
Steve Finn with you, Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport with Quentin Hull. This time last week, we were sort of giving suggestions to England tourists as to what they could get up to in Perth because the cricket finished early. What have you done for the last couple of days?
Well, I hopped on a flight to Sydney. I've got quite a few friends here in Sydney who play grade cricket and who I've met through association. So, I've come. I've done the Coogee to Bondi walk three times in the last 3 days to try and get rid of these love handles that I've got since I retired. So, it's been a nice break in between the test matches, but I'm certainly looking forward to heading to Brisbane tomorrow for the build-up to this next test because for all of the furore around the game in Perth and the fact it only lasted 2 days, the cricket was still riveting when it was being played.
I'll finish with this, Steve. We know of the talent with bat and ball, but no matter how good England touring teams have been in that regard in their skill set, outside of your group of recent times, they come to Australia and get rattled. Do you have the faith that Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes can ensure that their heads stay on despite what happened in Perth?
Well, yeah, I've no doubt that these guys are best placed in order to do that. They're a very tight unit and they fully believe in what they're doing. I think previous times when teams have come down to Australia, you end up second guessing yourself with your mantra and what you actually stand for. Whereas with strong characters like Stokes and McCullum, if they're going to go down, they're going to go down on their terms. And I really respect that. And I do still, even though what we saw in Perth might seem on the contrary, I still really do think that playing in the way that they do, if they manage to stay together and keep those fast bowlers on the park, England will rattle Australia throughout this series. Because we must remember that at the end of day one and on the morning of day two and at lunchtime on day two, we all live in the press box and we're around the press box. Those Australian journalists were sharpening their knives for a number of Australian players and administrators. So all is not rosy in the Australia camp, and England will latch on to that if they can.
Yeah, it's certainly tantalising for Thursday. Thanks for your time, Steve, and safe travels to Brisbane.
Thank you. I'll see you all there.